Okay, well, take it from the top, because you've got a script.
So prepared. So we want to say, Alex, by the way, hello, if we haven't met. This is
How long since you've been here?
Maybe a few months, actually.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
Yeah, but yeah. Usually I'm not here that often. But
no. I still think of you as a teenager, you see. So,
So I used to be part of St John's, and I'm married to Sam as well, who grew up here. Sam Lucas. And Livy obviously still comes here more often than me. But we want to say a massive thank you for supporting us, not only through prayer, but also financially. We're both very grateful. So it's great to be here and share with you about our work. And it's so encouraging having you pray for us, because we can't do this by ourselves. You'll go.
So we know that you know about UCCF, so we're not going to sort of pitch you what we are, but we thought we'd just remind you and refresh you on the vision of UCCF. So we exist to give every student in Britain the chance to hear and respond to the gospel. This is very much done through student leadership, so it's not the two of us sort of preaching on our campuses, thankfully. It's working alongside the Christian unions who are already in place and supporting the Christian students who lead those to be doing it better. So we're supporting the best placed to be more able to share.
So another thing about UCCF is that it's a fellowship made of a few different parties. So the Christian unions are mission teams that operate at the heart of university or college campuses. So those are led by students, and then they are then resourced by UCCF, so us as staff workers or relay workers. And then we're all supported by the local church, which means kind of local church where the universities are, but also you as supporters. So UCCF is actually you as well. Yeah.
So thank you, because you are also UCCF. And we partner with you sort of from a distance and obviously up close now, which is great. But then we partner with our local churches that we attend as well and others. So we want to, again, give you a massive thank you so much for all of the work that sort of we are collectively doing for the kingdom of God. It's brilliant.
I just have to say, Sarah and I and the children were down in London over the holidays, and we popped in to Alex and Sam's local church, thinking
Wasn't
we might
there.
Bump into them. Now, two things struck me. One was that I now know where all our 18 to 35s have gone. They've gone to London and to Christchurch Mayfair. And the other was that church was really excited because they were about to have an AGM and elect church wardens and a PCC.
We had that
brand
today,
new.
Actually. I came from that, yeah.
Well, we've been doing it for 200 years. We're not quite as excited. But it's a new parish, so great to see.
Yeah, our parish is literally the footprint of our
footprint
building.
Parish.
It's a bit weird.
Anyway, sorry, that was just a little insight into your church. So you carry on.
Should we talk about our jobs?
Yeah, great.
So you take it away.
So Alex and I, much as we both work for UCCF, our jobs look very different. So we thought we'd just give you a brief insight into what that is. So some of the building blocks are very similar. So we both sort of equip and train Christian Union leaders. So for me, what that looks like, we have weekly Bible studies for our first year students in their halls of residence. So the aim of these are mini missional groups to go out and then be reading the Bible with other students in that hall of residence. So my role in that is that I write all the Bible studies, and then I train the leaders in doing that. I train them how to handle the Bible, how to sort of read the Bible and be able to then teach it to other people rather than just sort of reading the text and thinking, cool, this was written by Timothy, or, well, not written by Timothy, but anyway. And I then sort of troubleshoot with them if they're not knowing either how to kind of engage quiet students or if they're having trouble with a particular theological issue. So that's something that I do on an almost weekly basis with some of the students at Keele to, again, get them to kind of go and train the other students. So it's just students equipping students again.
And then another thing we would do usually is also if we come across some students who come to events or to CU who are kind of reinterested in Christianity. Some of us as staff workers would meet up with them and read the Bible with them. So you might have heard of Uncover. So I've done that in the past where last year we had a girl come along to an event we did at one of the arts colleges, and she just came out of the blue. No one knew who she was. And she just suddenly was just like, you know what, I want to become a Christian on that very day, which is really bizarre. And that never happened to me before. But so then I met up with her and ended up doing Uncover, trying to kind of explain to her what actually, who Jesus actually is. So that's part of our job as well. And also, I know that you've done that as well. And we would also meet up with students who have no clue who Jesus is and are not yet Christians, and we encourage our students to do that too. So we train them in kind of one-to-one Bible reading and one-to-one studies. Yeah. Am I doing this next bit as well?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. and then a massive part of our jobs is also looking at which students have kind of potential in being leaders in the future. And so that's a massive privilege, because you can see some students just grow from being really not confident in scripture or kind of leading, and so you can help them develop those skills. And they, like, over a year, you can see a massive change in their kind of personal growth, which I find actually really rewarding. So a big part of that is this thing we called Relay. So it's a program done by UCCF where graduates can volunteer for a year. So Liv's done Relay, she'll talk about it more. So I've seen one of my students from kind of second year whenever I came into UCCF. Now she is my Relay worker, and seeing how she has grown in her kind of understanding of the gospel, of like talking to people about Jesus. And also for me, because I work with art students, we also help them kind of connect their Christianity, well, their faith, and their arts practice. So that's been really interesting in helping those Relay workers think about that. Should we talk about our like specifics of the job? Yeah, so I'll go on to that, because that's in the script.
So those, just to say, those things are things that all staff with UCCF do.
Yeah.
So we both do those, but it looks very different in Northwest Staffordshire and in London.
Yeah, but it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
But so my job is different in terms of, I'm called an art staff worker. So usually people who do art staff work are people who've been to art school, so I study textile design. And we, as UCCF, have developed this new thing. Well, it's kind of new, but it's called Leadership Network. So we look at potential leaders for the future who are in spheres of, I'm going to try and remember this, of arts, music, politics,
theology,
science, thank you, and law as well. The idea is that it comes from the kind of understanding that God is the Lord of all things, and he wants us to be involved in everything culturally and have influence on all those things as Christians. There shouldn't be a sphere of work where there isn't a Christian in it, because we should be part of growing culture. It's kind of part of our cultural mandate in Genesis. We really believe that we should invest in those students and CUs who hopefully will have a really great career in one of those areas, and then they can be like the next, I don't know, William Wilberforce or something, or have their artwork exhibited at the Tate as a Christian. That would be amazing. And just kind of naturally be evangelistic as well in those areas, so it's not fake, but they just bring people along with them. So my job is to do that with art students. If you think about how much Netflix or how much people go to galleries in London, and then compare it with how much people read the Bible, I think Netflix probably wins. So how important is it to have Christians making films or being in the film industry, or Christians being painters, or Christians being designers? Like you have London Fashion Week, you have this and this. We need people to be excellent at their craft and be Christians, first and foremost Christians. So that's kind of part of what we are trying to develop more and more, and that's part of my job. So what I do with my students is we not only do CUs in separate arts colleges, so my job goes all over London with four universities and different colleges within that, but we also do monthly interface, not faith, interface, gatherings where we would have a speaker who is a Christian in the arts, so either kind of a practicing artist or a practicing designer who works like a graphic design place or a theologian who's thought about how to connect arts and Christianity, and would have a meal and basically just challenge and help our students from all my CUs in all the arts colleges and help them think how to approach their subject from a Christian point of view and how to be Christian in the studio. And I've noticed that it's such an important part of their kind of development, because they don't force their Christian viewpoint onto their artwork. They don't have to have a fish on their art or they don't have to paint Jesus on a cross. They can literally do anything they want, kind of be faithful in what they're doing as well. But their evangelism becomes very natural. They become friends with people in their studios and it kind of informs the rest of their life. I think that's probably enough from me. I babbled, so yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Alex. So I'm not artistic, so I don't work with the arts networks. I sort of came into UCCF with two massive passions, which were international ministry and the Relay program, having done it myself. And wonderfully, I've been asked and have served for the past year and will do for the next year as well, on both the Relay team and the summer teams. So what that means, the Relay team, I'm one of 13 staff who sort of take care of, this year we have 75 Relay workers, which is a very large year. My year we had 56. So it's brilliant. So Relay workers do a lot of the work that staff just don't have the time to do. My Relay worker has been such an immense blessing. He has such a passion for the gospel, such a love for Jesus, which is really infectious. So the men on my campus are seeing this young man who they love, who they relate to really well, much better than they relate to me. And it means that they love Jesus more because they're seeing it's, you can be sort of a likable and normal human being and still love Jesus more than anything else. His enthusiasm, he is the most enthusiastic human on the planet, and but it's brilliant. And so he's just passionate about the Old Testament, and so my students are reading it for the first time, which is amazing, and they're discovering that they can understand it, and they're sort of looking at things and like, oh, that really connects to this bit that we were doing in CU last week in Mark. And I'm like, yes, I know, well, it's the Bible. So less sarcastically, so Relay is fantastic for that, to be working with students in a way that staff just don't have time to be doing. So I'm one of the people that sort of supports that, which is just such a privilege. It's so great. I've got five Relay workers in my small group. From one of them's in Edinburgh, one of them's in London, and sort of across the country. So again, sort of keeping in touch with them and supporting them pastorally, which is a joy, and helping them at conferences to think through the vast amounts of theology that they learn and to think, how can it apply to life? Gosh, it's such a joy. So I'm doing that again next year, which is great. Then the summer teams is how I can sort of enact my passion for international ministry. So last year, the highlight of my year was going to Albania. So I took five students and my co-leader as well. And we spent, I think, 12 days in total. There was a six-day camp, 2 days of travel, because Albania is a difficult country to get to. And it was just brilliant coming alongside Albania students in their sort of the sister IFES movement, encouraging them in their faith. There was one girl who particularly sort of stood out to me, who she came and said that she had friends that were sort of trying to tempt her into Satanism, which was horrendous. And she'd sort of cut off ties with them because she knew that that wasn't helpful for her, but she was feeling really kind of lonely and doubting her decision. And then at the end of the week, we'd been looking at Colossians, and sort of near the end, there's quite a clear comparison between sort of this is life following Jesus and this is life following anything else, and sort of this is rubbish and this is amazing. And she came to me afterwards and was like, yeah, that's what we needed to hear. Like, of course, this makes so much sense. So that was a joy. And this year we're going back again, and we're going to be doing some sort of evangelism training for the Christian students. And the Albanian staff, wonderfully, are now going to be sort of taking more of a lead, which is the goal. So we don't want them to sort of be relying on British people to come over and help. We want them to be able to run their own things. So that's great that they're starting to do that as well. So those are sort of the two main things that I do on top of
normal things,
our mutual things.
Is there anything else? We can now ask
Oh, yeah,
questions.
I've been writing down questions. No.
That's our spiel.
That's just, okay, great. Okay. Now, one of the first things you said was you wanted to enable all students to hear the gospel. What makes it difficult in this generation? What are the things that make it most difficult to hear the gospel among the students you're working with?
I think it depends on where they live as well. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So my universities are, in many respects, I say this completely genuinely, easier than Alex's, because I work on campus universities where, to be blunt, they can't escape. So
and they're bored.
Yeah. Because there's nothing to do. Seriously. So it is easier in that respect. But even thinking, so using Kiel as an example, there's 10,000 students there. Now, we had a really fruitful mission week this year, but in total we had sort of about 300-400 people hearing the gospel, which just on its own, brilliant. That's 300 people who've never heard the gospel, who now have heard the gospel. That's amazing. But as a proportion of 10,000, it's really not very big. So the main thing above absolutely everything else is just apathy. Students just don't care. So we're increasingly coming up with sort of provocative titles for our events or something to try and get some kind of response from them. But it's really surprised me how little students care. And that was when I was a student. I don't know if you had this as well. Trying to kind of spark up conversation is tough. So a lot of what we do is training them in friendship evangelism, because that is the way that people are responding to the gospel. When they have a friend who they know and love and who they trust and who they kind of spend every day with, they're much more receptive to hearing the gospel from them than from sort of me speaking in an event, which is why our Uncover projects have been so helpful, because it's students reading the Bible with their friends. There's a trust there that doesn't exist when kind of an authority comes in.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I mean, you know, well, 1,000 years ago when I was a student, you know, everybody was always arguing about the latest things in the student union. There, you know, people were quite passionate, often about dreadful things, but, you know, that you would get real engagement. And that, so, yeah, that apathy is... Okay, go on.
Remind me of the question again. Was it how...
It was, what makes it hard for... What makes it difficult for students to hear the gospel?
Yeah. I think in London especially, it's quite interesting actually looking at numbers at CUs, not only in arts colleges, but also in just normal CUs like Imperial or like UCL and that kind of thing. It, as kind of a general sweep, I think the CUs in London are the smallest CUs, kind of proportionally to the rest of the country. But I think one of the reasons is, there's probably many reasons, but that there's obviously so much to do in London. You're competing basically with loads of different things that are on. There's, I don't know, there's travel, there's this and that. So I think that's one of the things that are a challenge. And I think also it's apathy. People just kind of don't really care. I think also people don't like to be intrusive. And that, I've kind of noticed that. Like, I remember when I was at university, which wasn't 1,000 years ago, you would kind of tell people the gospel, but they would kind of respond in a way where it's like, oh, that's really nice for you. It's really nice you believe that. That must be really sweet and like fulfilling. And they don't actually get angry as much, which
relativism
is easier.
Is massive.
If someone's angry.
Yeah, it's a constant, like, that's your truth, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's not even denying that sort of Jesus rose from the dead or something. Yeah. It's like, that's great for you.
Yeah.
And then there's no application to, but for me, it's just, that's great for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably the biggest.
So that would be the sort of broad brush modernism, you know, in the old days, all you had to do was persuade people with the evidence of the resurrection and logic would mean they would believe, whereas that just doesn't work, does it?
No.
So, I mean, to ask a more positive question, are you finding there's a particularly good response with any particular kind of people, a particular ethnic group or people from a certain background? Or where are you seeing the most fruit at the moment?
I can't think of any like kind of group of people, but I think the way that evangelism is done has changed a bit. We had this at our staff conference. I've noticed this actually myself, but I think there's more of an emphasis, maybe especially in London, on community. Mm. So people are more lonely than they have been before. Mm. And they come to university and they want to kind of form friendship groups. So I think and also people don't want to come to a talk as much and eat a rubbish sandwich and go to a lunch bar, which is a weird term anyway, and listen to something that they don't necessarily want to listen to and feel trapped in. So I think that, I think we're all rethinking how to communicate the gospel. Mm. And I think actually it's been quite interesting. There's been loads of examples in Birmingham, so that's your area, where people have come to see you because they love the people there and they love what's happening there and they want to be part of it. And that's where they kind of hear the gospel. And that's actually really a really good way of doing it. And I've noticed that my CUs, there's one CU in particular who are so good at kind of being friends with each other. Yeah. And their friends love it, so they kind of come along and they just join in. And it means they end up hearing about the gospel during a CU and they end up reading Uncover. Mm. And that's quite interesting, which is actually really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the relational, the attractional, those things are key, aren't they?
Yeah.
Let's give people a chance to ask questions. So who'd like to ask a question? Yes, Fiona.
Personally, I'm not, which is a massive blessing.
Oh, sorry. The question. Sorry, Fiona. I should have given you a microphone. The question was: are the universities that these two are working with experiencing any problems of speakers being barred, that sort of thing? Deplatforming is it called? I think. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, no platforming, yeah.
No platform.
We had a sort of almost awkward interaction because we, for our events week, invited someone who used to be a terrorist in Northern Ireland during the Troubles and sort of forgot to tell the SU that. Thank you. So then they sent us a sort of slightly snarky email back saying, you should probably tell us if there's a former terrorist coming to campus, which, fair enough. But they didn't mind after we'd sort of said. Things tend to bypass Stoke-on-Trent. The chaplains, the chaplains who've been there for a while, we've met and discussed these things and all sort of issues of freedom of speech and all that kind. For whatever reason, doesn't really touch my universities, which is great. It does many, many other places. As part of the Midlands team, I've got three of the biggest CUs in the country in my patch with Nottingham, Birmingham, and Warwick. It's much more much more prevalent there. Even things like same-sex marriage comes up quite a lot because if you're sort of in leadership in the Christian Union, we need to make sure that you're kind of adhering to authority of Scripture, and that's been a sticking point for quite a few people. And people have been asked to step down from CU leadership. Which is difficult to do with student union policies. We've been really blessed that
nothing has gone horrendously wrong, because student unions can really kick off about that. Thankfully, that's not happened in the Midlands so far.
I haven't had that happen to me in arts colleges, partly because we don't have as many lunch passes other places. But I know that there's been some issues in some London universities. I can't remember which one. I think it was either SOAS. Yeah, it was SOAS. So there was an issue where, I can't remember the exact what happened, but something about transgender, and the SU ended up having an official investigation into the CU and if they were kind of transphobic. And that was really tough, I think. I wasn't kind of involved in it because that's a different staff worker, but but thankfully it ended up being okay. It was, they had a few meetings where basically the CU talked about how actually we're not transphobic, and talked kind of about what the CU is actually there for, and they want everyone to be there, but also that the Bible is clear on certain issues. And thankfully they kind of took away the allegations, and I think there was a lot of prayer involved. And the CU was almost threatened to not exist. So that happens a lot. I think that happened at Imperial as well, I think. But in terms of homosexuality issues, it can be quite hard. There must be so many other examples, but that's what I know of in London. I think it's okay. Mm. We just have to... I think if you talk to people and we help the leaders know how to talk about it, usually when they meet you and see you don't actually mean harm, I think it usually gets resolved.
So that comes back to the relational evangelism again. So we had, during my mission week at Kiel, we had some Muslim students coming along, which was wonderful. They sort of came prepared to, just thinking how I can phrase this, they had questions prepared to interrogate our speaker with, on the authority of Scripture, sort of lifting a couple of very specific verses from the Bible, saying, well, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. And in a private conversation they had afterwards, the speaker said that the Prophet Muhammad was a wicked man, which I think is sort of reasonable to say if you're a Christian, but for them, obviously, that was quite offensive, so they complained to the student union. The Kiel Student Union didn't really care, so that was, it sort of worked well for us. I kind of feel bad for them, but anyway, so it's, I think we're encouraging our students to speak the truth in love, and there are a couple of cases at Kiel when people aren't doing that, and they're just sort of speaking the truth, and I'm like, well, that's not how Jesus did things. We want to be emulating him. So you need to be speaking in love. You need to be loving your friends and not be sort of aggressive with your faith, because that's not absolutely how to win people for Jesus.
No. Great. Let's have another question. Nathan will bring a microphone this time. Question? Yes. Roy and then Rodney.
I'm just wondering whether you've majored at all in the art of apologetics, whether you've encouraged anybody in any particular way, and what way that would be.
Yeah, so we've, thank you, we've actually just started an apologetics group called Christian Persuaders at Kiel. So Christian Persuaders is a program that my relay worker has been doing all year. So he's spent a long time looking at, why do we do apologetics, so defense of the gospel. So instead of just, why don't we just talk about the gospel of Mark all year and that's it. People aren't becoming Christians by just hearing that. People also want to know how you can be a scientist and a Christian, because obviously science has disproved God. So, you know, so then we come in and say, well, no, it hasn't. And
the art students don't care about that, do they?
Some do.
Do they? Okay.
They care about a lot of things.
Very passionate. So we've started a group called Christian Persuaders it's sort of for everyone in the CU, but my relay worker and I put our heads together and picked out sort of 15, 20 names of individuals we want to come along. And it has a few purposes. So we meet once a week for an hour. Only once a term do any of the students have to do any work, because we get them to write a talk on an apologetics topic. So whether it's freedom or identity or suffering or science or the, like, is Jesus relevant anymore? Is the Bible reliable? Mm. They don't get a choice in what they do. We're just going to tell them what to write. And they have to go away and research it and then present a 15-minute apologetics talk for all the other students, and then we kind of give feedback. And we're looking, again, this kind of criteria for how we give the feedback. It's not just like, oh, that was great, good job. Mm-hmm. We try and make it constructive. And then it helps that person, because they know that topic inside out, and mm-hmm. they can use that talk at something like a meal with a message. So if they invite their friends around, they can then give that talk and kind of explain the gospel. I have a student who, she's brilliant, she's absolutely fearless, and she wrote a talk, and she's living with someone who's not a Christian and just doesn't really have a choice in listening to her talking about Jesus. It's brilliant. And he doesn't mind, so that's good. And she wrote this talk and was like, right, I need you to listen to this and tell me if it's good. So she sort of sat him down and then just sort of spoke the gospel at him for 15 minutes. It's just great, but this is a wonderful example for mm-hmm. that of mm-hmm. with these 18 students or 20 students are now writing talks that they can go and just give to their friends and say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm kind of nervous. Do you mind if I just try it out on you? And if they're good friends, then they'll say yes. And so that's great. And also then it gives the other students who are there don't have to go away and kind of spend a whole week looking at how like suffering and the gospel go together, because someone else has done the work, and then they kind of give a talk. So I'm really excited about that. We've only just started it at Kiel before Easter. So this coming Friday, I think, is the next one, and the first one that a student will do. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wonderful.
We also, I think each region trains some students, kind of biblical evangelism training. So in London, we would do, not necessarily apologetics, but kind of doing a talk on a passage as well. And they would do that in groups and then have teaching how to deliver the gospel well. So yeah, and it's like usually really keen students who would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Rodney, you had a question?
Thank you to both of you for what you're doing. But in particular, thank you for the prayer letters. Mm. They're very lively and exciting and encouraging. And it's a good impression of what you're doing and these events
Thanks
that
for
have
reading
been happening.
Them.
they're excellent. What I wanted to ask is, you mentioned it a couple of times, that's the Uncover. Could you explain about the Uncover Gospels and how they're used and what it all means? In a bit more detail.
Well, Alex's husband designed this last one, so I'll let her tell you about that.
Uncover is a project that ECCF started, I think, like 2011, I think was the first one.
Yes.
Yeah, so the idea is that basically friendship evangelism works, and it encourages people to sit down with a friend, open up the Bible, the way it's structured is that there's questions on passages and they just help you have a discussion. I think the premise is that God speaks through his word. If people encounter Jesus in his gospels, they'll see what he's like and that God's word is powerful. So there's nothing special about Uncover because Uncover isn't like a magic trick or anything. But it just helps students open up the Bible with their friends, and it makes them not scared of doing that. So it's just a tool in order for them to do that. So through it, like loads of people have become Christians. My students do it with their friends, and it works, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So we've had, we started with Luke and then John and then Mark, which is what Sam designed. But, people absolutely love it, and the students think it's amazing. So that's basically it.
And a great thing about it is that you don't have to have any kind of Bible training in order to read it. A lot of my students are anxious about doing evangelism, and just in the however many years I've been doing student ministry, the main thing that stops people from telling their friends about Jesus is, what if they ask a question that I don't know? Mm-hmm. And you can be that person and still open the Bible with your friends, because the questions are already written out. Some of the answers are kind of there. There's a bit of historical background. Mm-hmm. But there's no... The challenge on the front of every book is just see for yourself. And so the idea is like, okay, I'm not going to tell you what to think about Jesus. We'll read a passage and ask you what you think about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I've had the most kind of argumentative and cynical people read this, but then it's very difficult to read the crucifixion account and not be moved by it. Mm-hmm. And even if they are kind of rude about it, which a lot of them are, because they're trying to get kind of a response from us that's aggressive or whatever. When it gets to that passage, they've seen this man who's never done anything wrong be so brutally killed, and it's just so moving. A student I read with last year cried when we got to that study and became a Christian the week after when we did the resurrection. So that doesn't always happen, but like, but so many of my students are reading the Bible, and it's students who, if I just gave them sort of one of our blue copies and said, go and read this with someone, I don't think they'd know where to, I wouldn't know where to start. So because this is written so clearly for anyone to use, people are then taking it and using it, which is brilliant. So people are reading the Word of God, and God speaks through his Word, like Alex was saying. So
I think it's also cool how like people just see Jesus as a real person, which is what, they actually are like, oh, he like had a character, or like he got angry, or and that actually is really interesting, how they don't just see him as this boring man who did good things, but actually see him as like someone they can relate to. Which is cool. Sorry, I cut you off.
No. I was going to say, because we're not students, we can't talk all night, so we probably do need to draw to a close point. You know, I know it's different to your world.
Used to being out to light.
I know. But we would just like to pray for you both. So just if there's just one or two things from each of you we could just pray for, that would be a good thing. So, Olivia.
Thanks. So Word Alive was recently, I saw a couple of you there, which was wonderful. One of my students committed herself to Jesus there, which was really incredible to see. I didn't know her really before we went. I don't know if she was following Jesus by her prayer. I would think probably not. And she was really moved, so that was very exciting. So please pray for her. She's called Naomi. And please, pray for the mental health of my students, but just generally students across the country. It's pretty severe. I've had, in the past sort of 2 months, one of my students has interrupted. She's gone back to Northern Ireland for a year because she's having suicidal thoughts and self-harming, so she's dropped out of university temporarily. I found out sort of two or three of my students have been abused by their dads. I was in an ambulance with a student a couple of weeks ago because he wanted to commit suicide, and it's very sad, but it's actually more sad that it's not surprising.
It's like everywhere it's happening.
And universities talk a lot about wanting to invest in students' mental health, but on the ground, it's not reaching my students, at least, so far. So prayer for that would be massively appreciated.
And it's hard for us as well, because we are not like therapists, but people come to us with problems. Yeah. So pray for us to know what to say and not to bring it home with us and things,
Is that it?
Yeah, that's great. Did you want to add?
So for me, mine are kind of more for the future. So please pray as kind of the year ends, because this term is a bit more chilled. Pray that we have new freshers come along. We haven't had loads of freshers who came along and would stick to see you this year. That's just what happens sometimes. And then also have a lot of CU leaders who are continuing to next year. So pray that they won't burn out and they will keep being joyful and serving CU. And then also I've got lots of different plans to grow interface, but I don't have time to talk about it. But pray that those plans, and when I meet them as students, that they will go well and we'll be doing it for God's glory.
Great. Thank you both so much for sharing with us. We're going to pray for you both now. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the ministry of our two sisters in Christ. Lord, we thank you for sustaining them and granting them great opportunities, both to do evangelism directly, to encourage Christian students, to equip them in apologetics and in evangelism training, and just going on to honor the Lord Jesus in whatever career they set themselves up for. So, Father, we thank you for this wonderful strategic work that you, even in these days, are enabling to continue and indeed to flourish. So, Lord, we pray that you would keep them both very close to you in their own walk with you, as they read your word and pray every day, as they themselves engage in fellowship of a local church, that, Lord, you would keep them walking very closely with you. And Father, as they've asked us to pray, so we do pray, Lord, for this big issue of mental health. We know it's a huge and increasing issue in our society. And Father, we know that you, by your grace and gospel, renew the mind and bring an inward peace as you refocus lost souls on the Good Shepherd. So, Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus would be exalted in healing those whose minds are troubling them. Lord, please help them in that as they respond as Christians in these campuses in loving and practical ways with those particular needs. Lord, thank you for the joy of Naomi, who came to Christ. Lord, please would you sustain her in these early days of her Christian walk. And Lord, keep her walking closely with Christ. Keep her persevering, growing as a Christian, and serving you until her life's end. And Father, we pray for Sam that there would be some really encouraging Christians who'd arrive in Freshers Week in the autumn, and that those who've begun would continue serving without burning out. Lord, with small groups and few in number, yet we know that your grace is sufficient and your gospel is powerful, even when only spoken by a few. So, Lord, please continue to watch over these two, give them fruitful ministries as they go on. And, Lord, we thank you for this night and pray you speed them on their way in Jesus' name. Amen.